From high atop Bronson Towers in Studio 1B in the heart of the high desert of Placitas, New Mexico, this is The Matthew Bronson Show. Welcome, this is The Matthew Bronson Show on KUPR 99.9 in the high desert of Placitas, New Mexico. And today, in studio, is iBugGuyOrganic.com. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's just talk about, because we're going to talk about pest control. And,
right.
But why the organic? Can you do that and
Absolutely.
Still be effective?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So Roundup, we don't need Roundup.
Oh, you don't need Roundup.
Okay.
No. Now, I don't do weeds or shrubs, but there's a lot of stuff out there now on the internet that you can avoid using Roundup. But in our organic pest control, we use different oils and powders that are naturally based by elements of the earth, and they're quite effective for most of the problems. Now, there are some issues that we can't use organics because they're not effective, like bed bugs, German roaches, things like that. Of course, with the rodent aside, there's not an effective right. organic one.
So you've been in, you've been here your whole life in Sandoval County.
I have. Well, just about.
Yeah. And you have been in business in Rio Rancho for how many years?
Now, 7 years with iBugGuy, about 14 years in pest control.
And when you were like a tech with pest control, was it organic then?
The company I worked for was organic, but like us, they used synthetic as well as organic products, depending on the application.
And how does one get into the bug business?
I was working for the government when our
U.S. government?
For the state government.
Okay.
I was a force protection officer up in Santa Fe at the Armory, and the contract ran out. Funny story is that all the guards were looking for a job. And the newspaper was there, and one of the guards tells me, hey, this company's looking for a pest control technician. I think I'm going to apply. Well, I beat him to it, and I went and applied and got the job.
And because it was a job or because you had some interest or background in
it? Well, no, I didn't have any interest. It was just, yeah, because, you know, our contract was washing up, and I needed to gain income. And it seemed, after I went in and did the interview, it seemed like something that, you know, I thought I might partake in for at least a little while until I found something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here we are many moons later, and
is that a 6 week course or a 2 year course?
Oh no, yeah. Well, most companies are going to throw you in a truck after about 2 to 3 weeks. They're going to train you somewhat, and then you have to take a state exam to get your state licensing credentials to do pest control.
Because it's serious chemicals, even
it's
if
serious.
They're natural.
You really need to know what you're doing. Whether even organic products carry toxicity, so you need to know what you're working with, how to handle it, you know what PPE to wear, and those kind of things. So just because something's organic doesn't necessarily mean that it's not harmful to you. Or bees, let's
right.
say. We train our folks when they're using these products to make sure that they're not hitting the flower buds. Very important. And there was a really good article from Natural News a couple of months ago just on that issue alone, how professional companies and individuals were using organic products and not taking the environment into mind. So you definitely want to be a good steward of what you're using and know how to use it, following the label.
So when you get to the point of having your own business, is that licensure much stricter?
Well, I carry a commercial license. My techs have an operator's license. So, yeah, there's some law involved and different things like that, yes.
Bunch of chemistry stuff?
No, more of just, you know, knowing the laws pertaining to pesticides and how to use them. Every pesticide is different, but the law in New Mexico is label is law. Now, that's all over the nation as well, but that's the mantra that everybody lives by in this business.
That's good. We take it seriously.
Absolutely.
And but are the labels reflective of the real danger? Or
everything that you need to know about any product you're using, whether it be organic or synthetic, that information is on that label and or the SDS right. sheet, which can be pulled off the internet.
And, I mean, it's very complex, and all of these chemicals have 14 syllables,
right?
That how do you become, I guess, chemically knowledgeable to know that pest is, or here's an indication of here's the pest,
right?
And here's the best, most effective way to use what chemical I need. How does one gain that knowledge?
The great thing about New Mexico is that the association, the New Mexico Pest Control Association, or New Mexico Pest Association, is we're a very tight group of people. Now, we might all be in competition with each other, but we all talk. We all share our experiences. Matter of fact, on Facebook, you got to be a PCO, professional pest control operator, to be a part of this page. But there's about 7,000 people on this page, nationwide and beyond, that you know, share their experiences, their stories. Now, as far as training, once a year, our techs go for state training. It's about an 8-hour course that everybody takes. The incentive is that they get to keep their license without testing again, but they gain knowledge. Now, at our facility, every fourth Friday, we buy lunch for the gang, and we bring everybody in, and we'll have, like, you know, our Department of Agriculture inspector come in, or, you know, some of these key players in the industry, and share their knowledge with us. It really is like that. There's certain bugs use certain products, and that's how we control them. Right. And once you get, you know, with our company, you got to ride 6 weeks with me. It's just as uncomfortable for the tech as it is for myself.
Sure.
But I feel better knowing that when I put that tech out on the street in his own truck or her own truck, they have the knowledge at hand of what they need to use in any given situation.
It's also seeing their style, because they're representing you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we want to make sure that not only they know what they're doing and how to use those products, but that they know how to work with people. Mm-hmm. You know, this big PR thing here. You know, you're allowing us into your home to use these products at your house. We need to know what we're doing, and you need to like us.
Right.
You know, so we're very picky about who we hire at iBug Guy.
Any kind of county or state commission on pest control?
Well, I think it's handled by the state mainly through the Department of Agriculture. They're the ones that regulate our licensing.
Right.
They come in once a year and do an inspection of our plant. They check our paperwork. They audit our documents. They check every truck and make sure all our chemicals are stored correctly. So there's a lot there. For us, our major resource is the Department of Ag. That's who we reach out to.
And do they get involved with, we've seen an outbreak of this type of bug, and they send out a memo to all the operators?
They may. In a given situation, that might be unusual, yeah. Absolutely.
So, what I'm thinking about, Joe, is you serviced professionally a neighbor of mine.
Yes.
Who had starlings eating his stucco.
He did.
And I guess that's a pest thing.
Absolutely.
But I didn't know why starlings would do year-old stucco, and what in the world did they do with it, and what how do you treat it?
So that particular situation, we don't know why they were pecking at that, but if you go on the internet, it's pretty well known. There are ways to use products to treat those, but we prefer to do organic. Right. Organic's not always chemical. So I had talked with your neighbor. We came to a conclusion, and we treated his house where we put deterrents so that the birds wouldn't land on his perch. And then we had pointed out bushes where they were nesting in to trim them back and to just make it uncomfortable. You're not going to hurt the bird, but they're going to fly somewhere else at some point.
They're going to come down the road to my house.
Well, you haven't had them yet, so that's good.
What is there in stucco that these starlings like?
I think it's more that they're looking for a nesting area, and they're looking for somewhere to build their nest. So they're pecking in there, and they're going in and out. So how did we rectify that? We used a product along the roof line that prevented them from landing. We also install a cone so that they fly out, but they can't fly back in.
Okay.
And then once we feel comfortable enough that we know that there's no more birds in there, we seal the hole. And what we did over at your neighbor's, we just put tape over those holes until the contractor came and fixed the stucco. It was pretty crazy. They were really going to town on his ceiling there.
There's something, whatever brand of stucco he had.
Something was very appealing to them.
So of the calls you get weekly, and we'll kind of focus on the Placidas area because we're different elevation and terrain, is there like 90% are for this problem?
We deal with a lot of rodents out here. Centipedes, scorpions and rodents are the biggest calls. Now, once in a while, you'll get these vinegaroons, which are these big, crazy, ugly-looking bugs that look like lobsters.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't hurt you at all. They're the good bug. They eat the bad bugs. And they're really scary-looking, but again, they're harmless to you.
Well, scorpions. You know, I grew up in the East, as many people who live out here. When I saw a white 2-inch scorpion in the bathtub one morning, it was like, where in the world are we, and what is that? Well, I knew what it was, but why is it here, and do I need to be afraid? How do they get in? And
Your guy probably crawled up the wall and got into the bathtub and got stuck in there. But they can flatten their bodies. They can literally go under a threshold through the most minute crack in a door, and that's pretty much
it. What are they looking for?
Resources, water, food, heat. We get a little cooler up here in Placidus, so now, especially this time of year, you're going to see bugs wanting to come in.
And that's why the crickets come in.
Crickets, yeah.
Are these little white scorpions dangerous?
They're not fatal or anything like that. They may not even make you sick. If you get stung by one, it's going to be something equivalent to a wasp sting.
Okay.
Yeah. But they terrify people, so.
Well, when I saw some outside, I was reading about them, and then I read that, well, they like to go under rocks or whatever.
Sure.
And they're a good food source for the roadrunners.
Absolutely.
So I want roadrunners, so does that mean I have to have scorpions and tarantulas? Well,
something like that. I try to justify every bug I can to understand why it's here. But I cannot find any justification for the bed bug. I'm just throwing that out there.
Is that an issue in Sandoval County?
It's an issue all over the state, yes.
Yeah, even in residences, not just hotels.
Yeah.
How do you get them? From?
Through travel. So bed bugs are pretty interesting. If anything, the characteristic of a bed bug I find very curious. So the way they get in is, first of all, they have little hooks on their feet, so they can get under the hem of your pants, let's say,
right,
or hop into a woman's purse at the office, those kind of things. And with fabric, they actually lock in on you, and then they don't go dormant, but they just go for the ride.
Sure.
And what's interesting is that a bed bug will usually be between 5 and 15 feet of the host. So if you're laying in bed, that bug is going to be hanging around. If they like you or your blood or whatever,
right,
they're going to hang around that area until you go to sleep. Very scientific bug. As soon as you exhale carbon dioxide, because you're in your REM mode of sleep, they detect that, and they come out, and that's when they come and get you. Now, you don't feel it, because as they're injecting you with the beak, it's really not a bite, it's a beak.
Right.
It has an anesthesia in it, and it numbs the area they're injecting until they find a vein. And then there's another chemical in that beak that doesn't let your blood coagulate. It's an anticoagulant. So then they can fill up with blood, and then they pull out, and they go. And you wake up in the morning, and you're itching. So it's an interesting bug with really strange scientific stuff behind it.
Well, short of throwing out your mattress, is there anything you can do?
So We do interviews throughout the year with different people, and one thing I always tell folks is that if you travel a lot, use hard luggage. There's no chance of getting a bed bug in your hard luggage. These things can come in the plane, from the bus, from the hotel, the taxi.
Right.
It just really, they could be anywhere. I've read reports of them in movie theaters and bakeries, and we've treated bed bugs in the weirdest places.
So people in Placidus tend to travel a lot.
Sure.
So when they come home, should they spray their luggage with Real Kill? Or
best thing to do is take your luggage, put it in a black plastic bag, put it in the garage till you can tend to it. At that point, when you tend to it, immediately heat your clothes, wash, and heat. Everybody does it backwards. They wash first, and that bug can actually live through a washing machine and water.
Right.
So you want to leave it contained, especially if you think you might have dealt with bed bugs somewhere down the road. And then, when you're ready to deal with it, then you wash your stuff right away. Keep your bag outside, let it heat up outside. It's getting cool now. But yeah, you definitely want, you can definitely see the bed bug.
People, can you spray some kind of vapor in the plastic bag?
Oh, there's many different products you can use.
Like tenting a house.
You could fumigate it, yes. But remember, that bug doesn't go away. If it's hiding, say, under a flap in the case somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and you fumigate, just say you use some kind of, you know, fogger or whatever you spray in there, the bug may never be affected by the product because it was hiding in somewhere. So you really want to look deeply. You want to vacuum and steam. When we do bed bug jobs, we vacuum and we steam. And the main reason we vacuum is we're trying to get as many of those bugs out of the area as possible. If you can get 80% of that infestation contained, you're only dealing with a small part of it, and then you use very minimal chemicals.
I can just hear everyone cringing.
Absolutely.
When you travel, do you do this regimen?
I haven't been in a hotel in years.
Right.
I don't fly, not because of bed bugs, but I don't anyway. And I have a very nice RV that travels all over the United States. And that's actually how we travel. We last year was our 25th anniversary, and we rented a really fancy room, and we were like freaking out because we're in the business, and you know, we weren't getting bit, but it was in our mind because we see this so much. I probably treat for bed bugs at least twice a week.
At your home?
No. In general.
Okay.
I will never have a bed bug at my house. Never. Because when I do bed bug treatments, these clothes go right to the shop in the laundry, and I have shorts there, and that's how I go
home. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you watch any of these travel shows or Hotel Impossible, things like that, the star, whoever the big hotel guy is, first thing he does is he takes the bedspread off the bed. And then he pulls back the sheets to look what's there. And it's all very dramatic. He takes the phone and the TV remote and throws that in the corner because that has all kinds of cooties on it.
Right.
But so, yeah, I can see that if you're saying we should fumigate our luggage or heat our clothing before we wash it, might we have an indication that requires less severe intervention? Like just when you change your sheets, look at the creases you're going to see.
If you're not in a situation that has bed bugs, 99.9% you're not going to get them. Now, however, if you're traveling, there's things you can do on the road that can help you determine if you're having an issue in your room or not. The biggest one and the best one is the credit card test. Get your credit card out, run it in the cracks and crevices of the headboard.
Okay.
Because these bugs can get pretty small. They can be as small as a granule pepper and as large as 1/8 of an inch.
All right.
So you want to do the credit card check. You want to make sure there's no little bugs in the cracks. Another thing you can do is pull the sheets back. Look in the seams of the mattress. Make sure you're not seeing little black dots or blood stains.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised. Sometimes you may not want to pull a sheet at a motel.
Well, better to know.
Absolutely. So those are things you could definitely do. Another thing we suggest is throw a couple of bags in your luggage. When you get to the hotel, put your whole bag in a plastic bag. That's going to guarantee that bug's not going to get in there. I don't want to make people too overly paranoid, but it's something that you should keep in mind.
Well, we'll add it to the list of things we should do, like exercise and eat right, but don't do.
You don't want bed bugs because you'll be calling me and it will cost you a lot of money to get rid of them.
So if you do travel and they happen to be there, you will see little bite marks on you.
Oh, absolutely. You'll fall asleep and the next morning you'll have the bite marks.
Do they go for like warm, moist areas or just any place?
Some people don't get bit at all, believe it or not. So really particular to your blood.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it operates. And then when they find a host they like, they will stay in that bed area, either on the nightstand, the headboard. Mm-hmm. So we tell people that have bed bug infestations when we're all done and we get them treated and we get rid of the bugs, we ask them to buy encasements and we put them on for them if they do. Everybody encases the upper mattress, but they never encase the box spring. That needs to have an encasement more than anything because the box spring is really where those bugs hide.
Is there any redeeming qualities to a bed bug? I mean, because they say everything has a purpose.
Not that one. In my opinion, it's the demon bug.
It's not the food for something else? Or
I can't see it. There's nothing that can justify to me why a bug would come out of wood and fabric and bite you and suck up your blood just to stay alive. It literally lives for the blood meal.
But isn't that a mosquito also?
Yeah, but mosquitoes have a different purpose. Now they feed the bats. Remember that the bats eat 75% of our mosquito population daily. If it wasn't for the bats, we'd all be in big trouble. So a little different. I'm not sure where the bed bug, you know, what its purpose is in this world.
What it used to be when it before it became a bed bug.
Well, it's been around for thousands of years. They've got reports of bed bugs and history of them.
But before there were beds.
Before there were beds. Absolutely. Cavemen had bed bugs.
Speaking of bats, I don't hear anyone really talking about putting up a bat box, and we're all really granola-ish up here in Placidas.
Yeah.
You'd think everybody would have a bat box.
Well, bats don't really bother you until they start perching around your vigas and things like that, and there's ways to deter them away and discourage them from perching.
But don't you want them there to eat the rodents and the stuff around your house?
You definitely want bats around. They're somewhat of a good critter, but again, you know, I don't think I'd want a bat hanging around my house.
No, but especially up here where people have an acre or so or more. Sure. Couldn't you put it at the end of the property and they would eat all the bugs around, or a lot of the bugs?
Well, maybe, but you know, that bat population kind of does what it wants. I don't think we... there's a guy up in Santa Fe, real nice home, he was asking me about bats, you know. And I explained to him that, you know, because kind of the methods are a bit gaudy with spikes and gels and things like that. So he ordered these little supersonic sound things, and he says they work. I want to believe him. I'm not sure if those things work or not, but it seemed to work for him for the bats.
The other biggie up here is rodents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For some reason, we seem to have escaped that where we're at. So.
Yeah, you guys are doing great here. That's good.
But is it like in cities, you're just... I think they said recently in Chicago, you're never more than 8 feet from a rat.
Well, rats, and well, maybe so in Chicago. We see more rats up here in Placidas than we actually do in Albuquerque. We have pack rats out here. And, you know, there's a lot of great ways to deter them away from your home. Mice the same way. There might be other issues, though, that you need to deal with mice, because mice can fit into that size. That's my pinky finger. They can squeeze their little bodies into anything, and they're big bodies as well.
But things, and the obvious things like don't store open containers or dog food in the garage.
Right, your trash cans are an issue. Wood piles are important. A lot of people like to put the wood next to the house. Move it away from the house. Keep those animals away from your home is the best thing. Deterrent methods, you know, we offer a superior rodent seal that we put around garage doors that is just excellent to keep the rodents out. That works very well.
It'll keep snakes out also?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll keep everything out.
Crickets?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's a brush seal that works very well. And when the door closes, it kind of intertwines. And it's excellent. We install hundreds of those things.
Well, I'm not so concerned about crickets or whatever, but I would think rats, rodents are a
big issue.
You're never really going to get rid of them.
Well, you know, you're not going to get rid of them, but you could definitely keep them out of your home. Things that we do too is called like an exclusion, where we inspect your home top to bottom, literally from the roof down to the bottom, and we find these entry points where we believe they may be going in or they could go in, and then we seal all those areas, vents on the roof. You know, dryer vent is like the most popular spot where these guys go in and out of.
Well, it's a clean shot.
Yeah, right in. They don't necessarily need to use the pipe either. They can fit around it and then get into the wall. The mice are a big issue. Now, a lot of things that we do, we exclude, we use bait boxes, and you're going to be hearing more about that later. It's already in California where bait boxes and rodenticide has been banned, and you're going to be hearing that more here. I know in Santa Fe, there's a couple areas up there that we're not allowed to use bait any longer. What do they call those? HOAs.
Right.
That are,
you know. Is that a humane issue or is that a toxicity? Well,
so the issue is the second kill. And it's been a talk that's been going on for decades, literally. You know, some will say there's not a second kill of those products. Some will say there is. What is it? J.R. Eaton is the company that's big into the baits. And they had a great seminar for PCOs a month ago about how these baits work. And I think what I got from it the most was the accumulation of bait in a rodent's stomach
right.
can get to levels where a bird or somebody, some other animal could eat that rodent and then die as well. So what we like to do at my company is try to find more methods that just deter the animals away or keep them out of your home. Like you said, we're never going to get rid of them. I got a client right down the street over here that doesn't want to use the baits. They're from California. And we found great ways to keep the mice and rats out of their home.
Were they doing all the right things by not having open food in the garage?
Oh, yeah. It's just a natural thing. Well, one thing, they have a water feature that's not being used any longer in the front of their house. Beautiful rock feature. Mm-hmm. And they seem to get some activity in there. But again, you know, sealing those garage doors, sealing the side of the house. And these are things you could do yourself. You don't have to pay us $1,000 to do it. You can go out there and do it yourself. Capping your roof vents using screening,
right.
Not the fireplace. So people need to know that because you don't want to restrict ashes from coming out of your fireplace. Certainly. But there's many ways that you can seal your home off to keep these rodents away. Mm-hmm. And the wood pile away from the house is like the biggie. The trash cans, like you said, you know, these are things that are going to draw mice and rats.
There's a really varied topography here in Placidus once you get off of 25.
Right.
Can you go to a community and go, there's rats there, or over there and go, no, there are no rats there?
Oh, yeah, you got rats right outside your door, but do they bother you? No. You haven't had any rat problems since you moved here.
No. Not I have a humane trap and right. never caught anything.
Right. And you're, yeah, we, you know, so. So
I must have a crappy brand of peanut butter or something.
Well, you know, peanut butter is a great attractant, and usually there's no problems, even if it's really old. Yeah, for some reason, animals just love that stuff. The bigger problem is when we're working on a house in Santa Fe right now, and we have the bank doesn't want dead rodents in the house.
Imagine that.
Well. You know, you'd be surprised. Some people just want them dead. So we're going through this process of catching the rats from underneath, you setting traps, and catching the mice inside with, you know, live traps. And one of the issues is that there's coyotes in the area, too. We're finding coyote scat. Mm-hmm. And you have to be careful with those traps because, you know, even raccoons will pick them up. They'll bang them around. They'll eat your bait out of there. So, you know, peanut butter is a very good...
Do the coyotes eat the rats?
I think they probably do eat some of the critters out there, of course.
So that could be secondary kill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe not. So the PCO guys, that would be folks like myself, they argue up and down that there's not enough poison in the belly of these mice. So this seminar that went on was pretty interesting because the bait that our company uses is a pretty much they eat it and die pretty fast.
Right.
So... The organic bait, which was trying to be pushed a couple of years ago, it could take 3 to 4 days for the rodent to die. What happens in that time is that they keep nibbling at the bait, and it starts building up the levels higher, is what I got from that seminar, where now you have all this bait inside the stomach of this animal, and then another animal eats it and is affected by these high concentrations.
So who's winning, the kill 'em fast or the rat lobby?
I would say if I had to use the bait products, which we do, it's better to just kill 'em fast. There's minimum poison in their mm-hmm. stomach, and it will be a less of a risk to other animals in the area.
Any risk to humans with the pack rats?
They're filthy and dirty. Mm-hmm. You definitely don't want them in your home. They could be rabbit, you know. It was a lot of squirrels this year, and you heard about the raccoons maybe in Albuquerque. It's become a huge problem, and even the state stepped in. The forestry department told people don't catch them because, you know, these animals could be rabbits. Mm-hmm. So you want to be careful if you're doing any live catching in your own dwelling. You know, some people want to catch the squirrels and relocate them. They don't want us doing that. They don't want to increase the, you know, these animals from having rabies.
Sure.
And populating the area with even more animals with now, rabies.
Squirrels are considered a pest as bad as a rat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So squirrels are going to get stuck in your, we find a lot of them up in ceilings. And right. They get stuck up there. And if they die up there, it can be pretty gory, you know, the smell, the flies. The removal. Mm-hmm. If we locate something in your ceiling, it has to be removed. We got to take sheetrock off.
Oh, sure.
And you got to replace that at your cost.
But maybe because rats are ooey, at least the way that they've made us think of it. But squirrels are cute because, like, we have one squirrel that I see him all day long.
But you know, when it gets cooler, they're looking for shelter. So what's going to happen? Say out here, it gets real cold up in Placidas the winter. Oh, excuse me. And these guys are looking for a place to stay warm. Well, what's the warmest place outside is under the hood of your car.
Sure.
They can start chewing vacuum lines and wires and things like that. So if you're seeing a squirrel around your house, you can call us or catch it yourself, but definitely get it out of there.
There's a thing on the morning news last week that under someone's hood, rats or mice had put 350 walnuts.
Wow.
They just collected them there.
Neat.
Obviously, they don't drive the car every day.
Right.
But I have heard many people have their wires eaten.
Oh, yeah. So one of our clients in Corrales, she had two Toyota vehicles and destroyed the wires in both of them. The mice did.
Right.
And she came to find out that there was a class action lawsuit because they were using soybean oil as a lubricant to pull the insulation on the wires.
Sure.
And some think that might be attracting these mice and rodents to all these Toyota vehicles. And I think Honda was part of that class action as well. But yeah, it can be costly if you get one of these rodents under your vehicle chewing away at your...
So can you prevent it? Some people say lift the hood at night.
There is a little device that's very popular being sold at, you know, your local auto parts store. And I can't remember the name, but it's a deterrent that hooks up to your battery. It's a low power power, so it doesn't drain your battery. Right. But I think it keeps this constant, you know, frequency sound.
Like an ultrasonic pest control thing.
Something like that, that keeps the mice away.
I've seen those in more in the east where you have a lot of moles.
Sure.
Where you just drive a stake into the ground and it vibrates this ultrasonic.
Oh, wow.
Is that
feasible? This goes under your hood. I think it's the same premise that, you know, it deters these rodents away.
Could you put that in your garage?
There are some for the garage, and it's pretty popular. I must admit, I see them quite a bit. I see them advertised on TV, and I've actually read reviews on them on Amazon, and it's pretty interesting. People have had great success with those.
And affordable.
And about $49, so it's not overly expensive. And then again, we're not using poison. We are deterring the animals away from our dwelling, our cars, our life, and we're not killing them, you know?
When I lived in areas where... there was a lot of foliage. The bug termite guys I spoke with said, don't let the leaves touch the house because then you have a highway to get to the house.
That's true.
That's also true around here. Keep your shrubs or whatever
away from the house. You know, if you go to our website, and that's ibugguyorganic.com, we have your treatment list of what to do before we come inside and out. Trimming those trees away, the biggest, you know, we get these carpenter ant calls a lot. And almost every time I get out to these places, there's a tree overhanging the roof. And sure enough, I'll go up on the roof and I'll see the ants coming down and they're working their way into the dwelling. Trim your trees back, trim your bushes back. All that leaf and stuff that's under these bushes is like, you pull that back, you're going to find ants and bugs and all kinds of stuff under there. So, you know, the organic way to really deal with these insects is to clean up your yard and trim and pull all the leaves up, because really you'd be surprised. Well, there's a whole other world.
I know in wetter climates, you know, everybody who has lawns, they put out mulch.
Right.
And that's just a breeding ground for all those little critters.
Absolutely.
So, but it looks good.
And they're all gaining the moisture. That's what those critters look for. Yeah. You know, the ants start in the spring and they spend the whole summer gathering because they know the winter's coming. They've got to sustain through the winter.
Right.
So they're going to find the moist areas. They're going to hang out there, resources, food, proteins, carbos. They're, you know, certain times of the year, they're looking for certain stuff. All for the strength of the colony, to feed the queen, and to make it through the winter. Right. So you got to try to get them away, you know.
It goes back to that personal responsibility thing.
Absolutely, every time.
Do we have termites out here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of folks think because of our dry climate, we do not have termites, but we do.
Yet we build stick-built in that block.
We do, yes. You know, you could pre-treat before you build your building or house. You know, our company does that. There is not an organic way to treat for termites, but we assure you at our company we're good stewards of the, you know, the products and the knowledge that we have. And, we, of course, we do everything according to the label. But termites are an issue. And at some point in your life, you're going to deal with termites, whether you have them or you're selling your home and it's time for a termite inspection for your new buyer. So it's a compliance issue in the real estate market.
In more termite-ridden areas of the country, I know that when you have the house pre-treated, when you're building it, you get a bond, not a warranty, but a bond that is transferable.
Correct. To your buyers.
Is that advisable out here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would definitely tell folks if they're going to build a new home, pre-treat. It's going to cost you a little more money, but in the long run, you're not going to only go to reduce getting termites, but you're going to reduce other bugs as well because those products work on other bugs too.
And it makes your home easier to sell.
I would say so, yeah. You're still going to need a termite inspection.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be finding any either. So,
Other big bug issues? You said centipedes?
Yeah, well, a little more on the termites. There is Greater Association of Albuquerque Realtors a couple of years ago put out a hotspot map of where they see, based on our data,
mm-hmm.
where the termites are in our city and surrounding areas. And it seems to be the west side, Rio Rancho, a little further down off Coors and Ladera area, seem to be hotbeds for termites. We find a lot of them over there.
More water out there?
I don't know if it's just a colony. You are closer to the river off Coors.
Right.
For whatever reason, the neighborhood I live in Rio Rancho, just about every house has been treated, and it's a pretty big area. Corrales Heights is our subdivision. Oddly enough, the house I live in has never been treated for termites, even to this day. So.
Well. You know someone in the business.
I do. Mm-hmm. I figure we'll use that as training ground for the new employees.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fire ants? Do we have those out here?
They're not quite in New Mexico yet, but they're working their way over here. Big ant in Texas.
Yeah. And, all right, so how about inside the house? Because it's obviously just a multitude of
the little ants outside. Is the biggest problem people deal with. Now, you're going to notice this time of year, there's a lot of black widows.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little bit bigger of an infestation this year than normal. You might have heard it on the news. They were talking about it locally. The best thing about spiders is even after your guy treats or gal mm-hmm. treats, when you see those webs reoccur, knock them down right away. You will discourage that spider where at some point, if the product doesn't get it, it'll go away. Spiders are a little trickier. They don't follow the perimeter like mice or other bugs.
Right.
They can drop in from the roof. So they may not necessarily get into your product line. So you want to reduce the spider population. You see webs, just get the broom and knock them down. You'll see after a while they'll just go somewhere else.
I think we have a normal amount of spiders.
Sure.
But have never seen a web.
Oh, good. Boy, your house is like up on the hill here. Nobody, no bugs want no you.
Even UPS and FedEx can't find us.
Oh, that's boy, terrible. Yeah. That's something.
Other than, I mean, I've seen some really ugly spiders out here that I'm not familiar with.
Right now, we're in tarantula season. They're going to actually do their march, and they're going to start, receding off into wherever they hide during the winter. So if you see a tarantula, they're about hand size. Right.
But they're harmless.
Yeah, but they're creepy.
Yeah, and they jump.
And they jump. And their legs move a certain way. They're a very weird little spider. Yeah. Well, big spider.
But the ones inside are not the spiders that I grew up with.
Right.
They're quite ugly. Are they
You're harmful? Probably dealing with wolf spiders. Okay. They are pretty ugly and they look scary, but that's the good spider.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a lot of people talk about the brown recluse, which mm-hmm. is not geographically they're not here,
right. And they'll mess you up.
Oh yeah, they may come in on a truck, on a moving truck, or through transport with goods
back to your luggage.
But yeah, well, in a bigger spectrum, like mm-hmm. trucks that bring in supplies and things like that, that feed the stores and all that. We may see them that way, and there was. My buddy at, I'll throw his name out there, Preventive, I think it was last year or the year before, he to all the PCOs, he said, anybody that's brings us a sample of a real brown recluse will give them $300. And every bug guy in town was looking for one.
Oh, sure.
They found one down in Las Cruces. So Preventive actually has a sample of a brown recluse. But here you go. I don't know. There might be 100 pest control companies all over the state. Nobody found one until, and it took about 2 months, I think, before they actually found one. So the recluse is a spider. It is in our area, not like you think. Definitely want to avoid it. It's recluse for a reason. It doesn't like you or me, and it doesn't want to be bothered.
Right.
You don't mess with it, it won't mess with you. If you get stung by the venom, it is pretty gruesome. The venom eats your flesh from the inside out. So if you get a recluse bite, they literally got to remove flesh to get rid of that venom.
But not likely around here.
Not likely.
It's the other spiders that you see are the good spiders that we have?
The wolf spider, yep.
Why is that good?
Well, because it eats the bad bugs.
Okay.
You have the black widow, and there is also another bug called the brown widow, which is pretty well known here in New Mexico. You don't want to mess with those. They will sting you. It will hurt. You won't. They won't remove flesh, hopefully. It's not like the brown recluse, but you just don't want to mess with them.
The black widows, at least to me, are very identifiable.
Oh, yeah.
Then there are all these other spiders that I don't know what they are.
So the black widow, they don't tidy their web like other spiders. Mm-hmm. So if you're seeing a web full of a lot of debris, that's how they catch their food, and that will be a black widow web most likely.
Spiders, as you said, like the good spider, eats the other bugs.
Right.
If we have them, should we just all get along, or do we want to get rid of them?
I have a lady in Taylor Ranch that she has this spider that lives by her kitchen window.
Mm-hmm.
She wants her whole house treated except that area because she loves that spider. So it really is. Now, the spider is the one.
How many cats does she have?
She has a couple, yeah.
Okay.
The spider is the one, no matter where you are, 6 feet up, down to the side, there's always a spider near you. So that's something you're never going to avoid.
Well, you always hear that. At least once a night, a spider crawls up your nose or in your mouth.
I guess I've heard that. I don't know if it's true, but gross, man. A bed bug, yeah.
So if you see them, I guess you can kill them, but you don't have to worry about that. That it's an indication of something else.
Yeah, so a lot of people see these like Child of the Earth. They're kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. Jerusalem spider, it's been called. There's a lot of different names. They have little pinchers, but again, if you get pinched or bit by one of these spiders, as long as it's not a venomous spider, you're just going to get something like a welt, and you're going to experience pain like a wasp sting. It's not.
Them more in my garage because I have stuff. I think it wants to get away from me as much as I want to get away from it.
Absolutely. It definitely does.
But then I end up chasing it, trying to, I don't know.
With the broom.
Exactly. And snakes?
Yeah, snakes are tough. Most of them are harmless. So we have a different variety of snakes in New Mexico, including the rattler. I wouldn't mess with snakes because you don't really know what you're dealing with until you get on your Google and search what it is, and you might get bit by then. There are repellents that you can use for snakes that you can spread around your house. Some people say they don't work. Some people say they do. This is what I say. We use repellents at our facility. But if it rains or if it's real windy and it gets covered, those repellents are not going to be as efficient. There used to be these catch boxes. Now, I was just on the internet last week. You can't buy them anymore because some of the issues were other bug or animals were getting caught in them, rabbits, all kinds of things. So they've taken them off the market. But those things were great. They were big glue board boxes that would literally catch those snakes.
But I guess you have to buy them on eBay.
Or
at a swap meet.
Even at eBay, I couldn't find them. Yeah, it would be a swap meet. They pretty much took them off the market.
Some people say that ground cover attracts rodents and snakes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So don't have those kinds of plants?
Well, again, if you have bushes or things like that, or these bushes that just kind of, encapsulate the dirt, you kind of want to at least move them around, clean them up, trim them back, because these animals are going to look for shelter. That's exactly what they're looking for. So you definitely want to clean up.
Over the past month, I've seen a couple of praying mantises.
Oh, yeah. That's a good bug.
That's a good bug.
Oh, yeah.
Is this their time of year?
We see them throughout the year, yeah.
They're really interesting.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty cool. In New York, you cannot kill those guys. It's against the law. Right?
All right. I thought you might say California, but New York, too.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not a bug guy in California. There's a lot of restrictions. Yeah. And I'm interested to see how this is going to play out with the rodenticides in California, because you can't use them now. So as PCOs, we see this as like, wow, that's going to be a mess out there, because these are major populators. You got to remember, mice and rats, just they eat and they breed. That's what they do.
Sure.
And then when you have California that doesn't clean back the foliage and has all that fuel out there, underneath all that stuff, these animals live. So I'm really interested to see how that's going to play out there.
Is there a number one thing that people should be doing that they aren't doing that attributes to pests?
I think, you know, the big issue that everybody has is the little ants.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get them in their house, some people don't. If you have little ants in your house, remember this. They're following a pheromone trail. You're not going to disrupt that pheromone trail very easily. You're going to have to figure out a way to get rid of them. There are organic ways to get rid of those little insects. If you watch them, they're going to be trailing from somewhere. And if you follow that trail, you're going to see what hole from the wall that they're coming in through.
Right.
Silicone. And that's it.
What about if they go in a space under your baseboard?
Right.
You may not see it.
You may not. But you'll follow. At some point, that trail is going to come out because that pheromone trail is leading to them to some kind of resource, whether it be food or water or this crumb that we don't know what it is, but they love. So again, you want to track them and see where they're coming from and then figure out a way to, you know, seal that area so they don't come through. Or a
little bait that they can take back to the nest?
Absolutely. Or? We have some really nice organic bait over at iBug Guy that we use, and it works very well. You know, little dots on little placards is what we like to do, and we put them along the counter. And you'd be surprised.
Because we used to have what they called sugar ants in Florida.
Sugar ants. That's, yeah. There's a lot of different names.
You just put like a little postage stamp size thing out with a little dot of this.
There you go.
In like 3 days, they're gone.
That's right. And a little patience, too, using baits. Those little ants, they're actually called, what is it? OHAs. Gosh, I can't remember.
Everything's an acronym these days.
Yeah, well. Original house ant or odorous house ants. Sorry. You crush them and they smell like ammonia or something.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Those are odorous house ants, the most popular ant in New Mexico. And, you know, not easily contained, but with a little work, you could definitely contain them.
And I guess remove their source.
That's it.
Whatever they're going for.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't leave that apple core on the counter.
Well, you should be able to leave an apple core on your counter. My clients will tell me, yeah, hey, we went the whole month and we left something on the counter and didn't see ants. Well, that's the way it should be.
Right.
You know, I have people, well, if I don't leave nothing out, they don't come out. Well, we don't want it that way. We want to get rid of them, whether they're in that wall or outside your house somewhere working their way in. You should be able to leave food on your counter without any issues.
But it's also, this is kind of Matthew's opinion, we consciously chose to live in a wilderness type area.
Correct.
We are not the original habitants from the micro ants to the big bears. And you just have to adjust your sensibilities and sensitivities of who gets to cohabitate with
you. That's it. Yeah. Some people can tolerate a spider or two and some people can't, you know.
And even the little white scorpions now, it's like, hey, I found one. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you flush it? Sure. And you go on with your day.
That's it, yeah.
It's part of the gig.
It's just a bug. Like I always tell people, you're thousands of times bigger than these bugs. What are you scared of?
Because there are millions of them and only one of me.
Yeah, well, they haven't learned you know, game forces together yet and overtake us, thank goodness.
That's yet, you said.
I threw that out there for a reason. I'm a sci-fi guy, so.
Well, Joe, iBugGuyOrganic.com. Anything I've overlooked?
I appreciate you having us out and coming to talk to you. And people
and scaring the entire audience?
Yeah, of course. Well, know that we're here to save them from that fear. So, right.
So there are things that can be done.
Absolutely. And you don't always have to use chemicals or products. There's other ways.
Fire.
Yep, fire works great. For a little while.
Yes. Well, for KUPR 99.9 in the high desert of Placidas, New Mexico, and the Matthew Bronson Show, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Matthew.